Let's pray. Father, we pray now that you will humble our hearts, that you will work in our hearts now, that we may receive your words, and that truth will transform us to be more like you, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a virtue that if practiced more, that more marriages will succeed. And the same virtue, if shown more, others will trust you more, and others may even like you more. And this virtue has the power to transform lives and to heal and mend broken relationships. And so what is that virtue? Well, it's gentleness. By this time now, you should have read this many times. And I just want to take you on this verse, and I want us to memorize it together as a congregation. So repeat after me. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And a good acronym for that, told me by the Cannell sisters, is cute kittens have gentle paws. Okay. So let's say it all together. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We live in a culture where power, dominance, and authority are the revered traits. Earlier this week, I was looking at news, and Donald Trump was just going off on Marco Rubio, and he was putting him down, calling him a little kid, a baby, a clown, and he was even calling him Little Rube. And this kind of a culture where iron-style fists of leadership is often encouraged and is also sometimes necessary. And these are the folks that often get the promotions. They get ahead because they can deliver the results and they can get things done. And our young kids are taught early on that winning is important, that almost winning is everything. And we tell them that get there anywhere possible. And we have mottos like, second place is the first loser. We have mottos like, there is no such thing as a second place, only winners and losers. And finally, as Homer Simpson puts it, you don't win friends with salad. And what I'm telling you, my point here is that the extolled virtues of our culture are strength, dominance, power to get things done, and a win-at-all-costs attitude. These are the virtues that we look to. And the virtues often they're ignored are the ones we just said. Compassion, humility, kindness, gentleness. These are the ones that are often ignored. And during my time in the Hershey Company, I never once received training on gentleness. And during my time in the Army, I definitely did not receive any training on gentleness. And if I did, it was probably a seminar led by the Air Force. I've been waiting to say that all week. But I have the utmost respect for the women and men in serving in the Air Force. But here's the thing. Whether you're in the military, whether you're in the business sector, an intel agency, law enforcement, whatever you may be doing, you will not receive training on gentleness. You may receive training on equal opportunity or how to get along with others, but gentleness is not a trait that we revere in this culture because it's not highly valued. It doesn't get you ahead. So here we find ourselves in a tension that the Apostle Paul tells us on one hand, he tells us with an imperative that you ought to clothe yourselves with gentleness. And here we see in our culture that nice guys finish last. That our culture tells us that gentleness is not the path to success. If I'm gentle, people will all walk all over me. I'll get assigned all the tasks that nobody wants. And if I want to succeed in this world, gentleness is not the kindness, or the gentleness is not the character that I need to be showing, but rather power, strength, authority, and dominance. This is what the culture tells us. So why should I put on gentleness? Why should I be gentle? And why does Paul command us to be gentle and to put on gentleness? Well, first time, it's hard for us if, let's look at this. It's hard for us to be gentle for a few reasons. It's hard because, first of all, that we're sinners, that we are selfish, and left to our own sinful depravity, it is very difficult to be gentle. Because Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit is gentleness. And that it requires a miraculous, a regenerating work of the Spirit in our lives to have this kind of fruit. That we, in order to be gentle, it requires the Holy Spirit to be in us. And second, as I showed you and shared with you, our society doesn't value gentleness. It doesn't get you ahead. It doesn't get things done. And so it's hard for us to be gentle. And third, gentleness is often viewed as weakness and timidity. And so we don't want to portray that sort of a perception. We don't want to show others that we're weak. We don't want to show others that we're timid. So then what does gentleness really mean? What did it mean when Paul was talking about gentleness? The range of meaning of word gentleness today is often associated with being weak, timid, submissive, unassertive, and definitely lacking confidence. Merriam-Webster describes it as mildness of manners or disposition. An American Heritage Dictionary considers considerate, kind, tender, mild, and meek. These are the definitions that we often use as gentleness. So is gentleness really linked to weakness and timidity? The word gentleness that Paul uses here, the word that is repeated often, is praus, the Greek word praus. And it describes a mildness that's not easily provoked or angered. And in the Old Testament, it's often referred to an economic status of somebody. Humble, it is meek, you're poor. The one that helps, I think, the most is a classical definition of the words, the same word, praus, and it's describing a tamed wild animal. When you see a wild lion or a wild horse that is being tamed, the word praus here, gentleness, is used to describe that tamed animal. There was a story of this lion in the early 1970s. This lion was named Christian, and it was a cub growing up with these trainers. And what the trainers did was they raised up this lion. When the lion was old enough, the trainers released the lion into the wild in hopes that the lion would assimilate back into the wild and that would fend for himself with the other pack or herd. And what they found a year later when they went to go visit the lion was that the lion, first of all, immediately noticed the trainers and was running to the trainers. And what I noticed was that the lion was extremely gentle with the trainers in the way that the lion was handling and playfully greeting the trainers. And that is gentleness. That lion is no less stronger than it was when the lion was with the trainers. Whether it's tamed or whether it's in the wild, the strength remains the same. Yet, the strength is in control. And gentleness is really, that's what it is. It's strength in control. And the definition carries the idea that one can be strong and even assertive without being timid. It is gentleness is not weakness or timidity, but strength in control. And in the New Testament, gentleness is the mark of Jesus Christ's messianic rule, that we serve and that we love and walk with a gentle ruler. It is a stark contrast to the expected rule that they were expecting. They were hoping for a military ruler who would overthrow the Roman Empire. The Jews were looking for a ruler, a Messiah from the line of David that would throw the military. But Jesus came with gentleness. God's power and strength are demonstrated in the scripture. He is gentle, yet he is also holy and powerful. We see the wrath of God resulting from his holiness witnessed in the flood of Noah. We see that God wipes out the sin of the people with the exception of Noah's family and the animals. We see this holiness being displayed in Sodom and Gomorrah. And most of all, we see this holiness displayed on the cross of Jesus Christ. And we see the wrath coming in the second coming in the Revelation. And yet this strength is contained. It is under control and gentleness in Christ. And we get to see the gentle face of God. As Christ took the wrath that we deserve for himself, we see the gentle face of God. And the same attitude of gentleness is demanded of the Christians, of his family of God, those who believe in Jesus. He says, you clothe yourselves with gentleness. So why does Paul urge us to be gentle? Why should we be gentle? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. So why should we be gentle? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. It says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Number one is gentleness diffuses tension. Whenever you're engaged in a tense situation or a tense argument, if somebody's meeting you with a hostile behavior or hostile level of voice, if you meet them at that same level, that tension is only going to escalate and the situation will not resolve. Or at best, it'll resolve in a very hostile state. The only way to meet that level of hostility is to meet it with gentleness. And as you do that, that level will come down. When you raise a voice, it will only get higher and higher. I remember working at the Hershey chocolate factory, and the workers there had always something to say about the operation or something that was wrong with our department. And so they would always come into my office getting ready to scream at me. And I had learned from watching the more experienced supervisors, as the people were coming in with wrath, with hostility, as they were raising their voice, the good managers and supervisors would be very calm. And they would meet them with gentleness. And then with that, the other voice would come down. And I realized that, well, this is a great example. This is how we ought to diffuse tension. And we see that right in there in the scripture, is that gentleness averts wrath. It diffuses tension. And why else should we be gentle? Turn to a few pages over to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25 Proverbs chapter 25 verse 15 says this, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Now there are lots of imageries here. Some other translations, if you have the NASB, it might say the forbearance or patience. And what we see here is this. Ruler, often we don't really associate our bosses as rulers. So whenever you hear that, I want you to associate that as your supervisor, your manager, director, CEO, chief of the Air Force, whatever that may be. The ruler, here we see that the patience of a ruler, a ruler can be persuaded. And the patience there in the literal Hebrew is describing a length of the nose, the long nose. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, God is described as having a patience, lots of patience. And that's described literally with a long length of the nose. And the breaking of the bone here, a soft tongue or a gentle tongue can break the bones, break the stronghold or the strength of that argument that person may have. And so if that person is a stubborn person that is just holding on with all their strength to this one way of doing things, the gentleness is what will break through this. The gentleness is what will persuade the boss, the director, the ruler. And gentleness, we see, is persuasive. Do you want to be more persuasive at home? at work, at church, gentleness is your answer. Wives, do you ever ask yourself, why doesn't my husband listen to what I tell him to do? I've told him to take out that trash 5 times. Why doesn't he do that? I've asked him to build that new deck. Why isn't he building that new deck? Do you want to know the key to persuasion in life? If you do, turn with me to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. This is a passage we read earlier in the scripture reading, but I want to reiterate this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And here is the secret to persuasion. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Gentleness is stronger than nagging. It is stronger than any brute force. It is stronger than any threat. Gentleness is a key to persuasion. And a loving husband who has been called to love you as Christ has loved the church, a loving husband who would die for you, will do anything for a wife who is gentle, affectionate. You want that trash taken out? Do you want that faucet fixed? Your room vacuumed? Gentleness is your answer. Clothe yourselves with gentleness. And husbands, do you want to effectively lead your wife and your family? Do you ever get frustrated that your kids, your wife, it seems like they don't respect you, that they don't listen to what you have to say? Well, how do you lead them? Set the example and lead by example with gentleness. Clothe yourselves with gentleness. When you come home, rather than seeking a comfort, rather than seeking that meal, go and see if the dishes need to be done. Go and see what needs need to be met. And serve your family with gentleness. William Shakespeare in Henry V writes this: when lenity, which is a fancy English word for gentleness, when lenity and cruelty play for a kingdom, the gentler gamester is the soonest winner. Gentleness is persuasive. And finally, why else should we be gentle? Gentleness is how Jesus leads us. Gentleness is the example that Jesus set for us. Matthew chapter 11, let's read this together. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 says this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Gentleness is how Jesus, our commander-in-chief, leads us. Gentleness is the example that he set for us, and he expects us to lead and clothe ourselves. And I am so grateful that our eternal reign with our King for eternity in heaven is not under some screaming drill sergeant. When you say that we enlisted in the army of God, it is under a gentle King. It is under a gentle ruler that will be gentle with us for eternity. The character of God is marked by gentleness in Christ. And so why is God so gentle with us? Why does he show us the gentle side of his face? Why did Jesus take the wrath that we deserve and show us the face of his gentleness? Well, first of all, his gentle draw leads us to repentance. Jesus first acted for us. Jesus acted first, and then we repented. It's not that all of us in here went out and said one day, hey, I'm going to go and find a great religion. No, the truth came to us. Jesus went on the cross and died and was resurrected, and it is through that truth that we come to him. And it's through that gentleness that we're persuaded and that we fall in love and that we started following Jesus. And he doesn't condemn you. The gentleness, it is through that that it brings us to repentance. When you're living a life of sin, when you're dealing with struggles and hardships in life, it is the gentleness of Christ that draws us in. For those of you struggling maybe with your children that aren't walking with the Lord, that you pray for them daily that they will come to know the Lord, or for maybe for your wife or your husband that they will come to know the Lord, know that it is the gentleness of Christ that will draw them in. Continue to pray for them and clothe yourselves with gentleness. Second, God shows us his gentle face because we are precious and we are fragile. If I handed you a violin, and if I told you, here, take this violin, and then I said, this is a Stradivarius violin, how would you handle that violin? There are less than 600 of them present, and all of them worth between $3 to $16 million. And if you break or if you drop it, it's just as good as flushing down $1 million in the toilet. So how would you handle that? You would handle it gently. Well, know that your spouse, your kids, your friends, your coworkers, they are precious and they are fragile. God gave us a precious and a fragile heart and ego that we ought to be gentle with one another. Likewise, if you held a baby, a newborn baby, or a preemie baby, you would be very gentle with that baby. I remember when my first daughter, Annabelle, was born, she cried and cried, and around 3 a.m., the nurses woke us up and said, hey, we're going to bathe your baby. Do you want to go? And I said, well, we can bathe her later, so I'll see it later. But my wife encouraged, go take some pictures. And, of course, in her gentle voice, I obliged and said, yes, dear. And as I went, what I noticed the most was the nurse was taking care of this baby with gentleness. And she was so gentle with this baby, and she was bathing and washing this baby. And yet Annabelle cried and cried and was screaming. And I asked her, well, do all babies cry like this? She said, no, Dad, you're in for one big ride. But the way she handled that baby was so precious. She handled Annabelle as she was so precious and fragile. And you are precious and fragile. God created you in his image with a precious and a fragile heart, an ego. And we ought to handle each other with care. So how do we clothe ourselves with gentleness? Practically, in our church family, as you look one another here, as you look around, this is the family of God. This is stronger, and the bond, as the scripture tells us, that the bond, the blood of Jesus Christ, is the strongest bond that we have. And handle one another with care. You may not agree with that person politically. You may not agree with each other, even some points of theology. You may be a pre-tribulation rapture or a post-tribulation rapture, or even a mid-tribulation. But don't let that separate you. You are a family of God. And styles, when we're talking about different sound equipment, different ways of doing things. Maybe you don't like all the hymns that we're singing, or not enough hymns. Handle each other. Bring those things with gentleness. Clothe yourselves with gentleness. And at home, husbands and wives, the Lord has given you a gentle, a precious, and a fragile heart and ego of your wife and your husband. You are more valuable than a Stradivarius violin. Your wife, your husband, is so much more valuable than that violin that I described. Handle each other with care. Clothe yourselves with gentleness. And parents, likewise with your children, handle with care. Children, let me tell you a secret. Your parents are fragile. When you lash out at them, when you disobey and say those words, they're fragile. And their hearts break. And sometimes you may not understand the advice that they're giving you. And you may think that it's silly, that it's out of date, but that advice is for your best. And God asks you to be gentle with them. Be gentle in treating how you treat your parents. And singles, those of you who are in dating relationships or waiting to date or waiting to get married, that person that God has provided you to date, your boyfriend, that girlfriend, that person is a brother or a sister in the Lord. And you would treat them with respect and with gentleness. That person may not be the one that you'll be marrying, in which case you have to be a good steward. That we've been called to be a good steward for both their physical and emotional well-being. Be gentle in how you take care of them. Be pure sexually and flee from sexual immorality and protect that other person with gentleness. And in the workplace, in what we type in our social media, people lose sleep over comments on Facebook. Do you know that? As silly as it seems, it's only a little website that people go in and out of. But people lose sleep over this because some comments can be brutal. The disagreements, the comments that you put in certain things you may not agree with, that can be brutal and people lose sleep over this. Be gentle in what you post on your social media. An email. When you have an email charged with emotions, when you want to communicate emotions to the other person, do not use the email. Go to them directly. At the very least, pick up the phone so the voice can be heard. But the greatest form of communication takes place in a relationship in person. And with your boss, coworkers, and non-Christians, 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." You may not agree with that Muslim neighbor. You may not agree with that Hindu neighbor. But treat them with gentleness and respect. And see how the Holy Spirit will work through that. See how the Holy Spirit will work through you over a period of time. And you pray for that neighbor. You pray for that coworker and boss. And see how God will work through you, through your gentleness, as God has called us to show that side of God. And don't expect in the workplaces for people to be gentle with you. They're sinners like you and me. Remember, it requires a work of the Holy Spirit to really produce that fruit of gentleness. It may not be fair. It may not be fair that they're being gentle with you. But it's also not fair that Christ had to take our punishment for sin on that cross. And he showed us his grace. It is gracious so that we see the gentle face of God. And God commands us to show others his gentle side through us. Church, we are precious. We are fragile. Handle one another with care. And clothe yourselves with gentleness. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that we get to see the gentle side of you, of your holiness. We thank you that you've given us opportunities to share this with others, with our families, our friends, with our coworkers and neighbors. I pray for our church that we will clothe ourselves with gentleness, that we will be a family that will be a light for you in this world, that others will see you through us. Father, humble us as we put on this gentleness. And Lord, use us for your glory, for your mission, that others may be won for you. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.